All the mermaids have sharp teeth, by The Quiet Wings. It is rated for teen and up audiences, with an archive warning for graphic depictions of violence, for the fandom Assassin's Creed, with the relationships Evie Fry, Henry Green, and Evie Fry and Jacob Fry, with additional tags for canon typical violence, blood and gore, biting, protective Evie Fry, established Evie Fry, Henry Green, established relationship, non-human assassins, falling even more in love with your violent, not quite human girlfriend, post-canon, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and brutal murder. Summary. Henry has begun joining Evie and Jacob in the field more often, finding his footing with how he rounds out their little team. He's also still trying to find his footing with what loving Evie means. Author's note. Evie deserves to go a little apeshit, as a treat. Evie perches on the roof beside the one Henry has chosen. Her head turns slowly. Henry should not be able to see her eyes as they track across the ground below, but under the dark cloak of a night like this, it becomes unavoidable fact that the golden glint that outlines her irises has never been a trick of the light. Her eyes gleam like the shroud did. The whole of that night is hazy from the concussion he'd recovered from afterwards, except for the shroud, which has burned itself over his memory. Evie's eyes are as unforgettable, as hard to tear his eyes away from. She stills and closes them, inhaling through her nose. Tension waits behind each muscle in her body. 9 of them, 2 on the rooftops. They're watching below. They can't see a thing up here, she says. Henry can't see them, no matter how he squints into the dark. The light of the lamps in the courtyard they're lying in wait above doesn't reach so high. Evie shifts, leaning towards him. He looks at her, but her face is in shadow, and her eyes would only be the same ocean blue they normally are if he could see her. Watch Jacob for me? She asks. He can hear the curl of her smile. I'll try, he says. He has a place here with the Fries, one he has never found so easily with any other assassins. They don't ask from him what he can't give. Henry's arsenal is smoke and noise, a ruckus to buy Evie a moment to move, and a moment is all she ever needs. A distraction so Jacob always has the upper hand, which he takes with glee. He's an extra eye on trouble beyond the fights they're embroiled in, another pair of hands to get those they want to protect to safety, and another body to lean on the few times these things go south and leave one or both of the Fries limping away from victory. He doesn't think they've ever had anyone but each other to watch their backs, save for maybe their own father. He's not sure they'd ever let anyone come close enough. Evie's eyes shine, and he freezes beneath her gaze, half in awe and half from fear that he can't shake, no matter how much he reminds himself that it's only her. She reaches down in the dark, and her fingers find the side of his face easily to caress over his cheek. He can't feel the warmth of her hand through her glove. Go, she says when she pulls away and draws herself to her full height. The weak moonlight is kind enough to give him the shadowed silhouette of her. Very softly, as though only meant for herself, Evie whispers, "This is our city." And it has a vicious edge to it. Henry's heart flutters in his chest. She's gone a moment later, moving with silent grace across the rooftops towards her target. Henry's footfalls might not be as light as her own, but this has always been the part he loved most, the movements that feel as natural as breathing as he drops himself a little lower near the courtyard. He can see only a couple of Templars standing watch. They constantly look over their shoulders. They know that they no longer belong here, but they aren't as smart as the ones who fled after the Templar grip on London was pried apart and broken, finger by finger. Henry sees one of them jump just from the small thud of the smoke bomb rolling through the dirt. They look around wildly, their fellow noticing their fear, but neither of them see Henry as he withdraws back to the shadows of the roof he's on. They don't see Jacob either. The smoke rises to swallow them both. One of them is scrabbling for their pistol. The other panics, shouting. Henry watches Jacob bolt like a bullet from the alley he was waiting in. The outline of him is barely visible from the shine of the lamps trying to penetrate the smoke. Anyone else would use a smoke screen to run. Jacob will be in the thick of it, eyes alight like Evie's as his opponents stumble blind. Henry looks up. He can't find Evie, but not a shot has been fired at Jacob from above them. He's quick to fill the yard with more smoke when the rest of the Templars creep out to see what the commotion is. They look hesitant to leave the building they've clustered in, but Jacob will follow them in if they don't come out. They might run to the highest floor only to find Evie sitting on the windowsill. Henry updates his mental count of Templars and his own equipment and checks his bracer just in case. He's adopted the darts the twins have. They come in handy in a pinch, but they can only do so if the mechanism is loaded and unjammed. What happens next happens fast. Henry has his eyes on Jacob. He has his eyes on the Templars. Nothing should go awry. One moment, Jacob is moving in. The next, one of them has launched themselves at him like a cornered animal. It's a man, Jacob's height, similar build, grappling with him under the obscuring smoke. And suddenly, Henry wishes he could clear it as easily as he can create it. He moves forward, braces his knees for a jump. He doesn't question his instinct to do so at all. He never does when one of them is in danger. The smoke clears, and Jacob is against the wall of the building. He takes a blow like it's nothing, but even from this distance, Henry can see the way his eyes widen and his mouth twists at the sight of a knife being drawn. Henry aims, but he withholds his fire. A dart in the back might send the knife right into Jacob's stomach. And above them, Evie screams her brother's name. It has the effect of a hawk's screech. The Templars freeze, cower, look wildly to the dark and cloudy sky. They don't see Henry, and they don't see Evie, not until she's already on top of them. The sharp hiss of her grappling line through the air, the dark swoop of her form from the night, and when she lets go, she's too high, Henry's breath catches, she'll break her legs. Evie lands like the distance is inconsequential. Henry can't even hear her hit the ground. She doesn't stop moving. It's different now. The grace in her isn't gone, but there is deadly pure focus behind every movement, all the furious drive of a predator with her claws out. He finally shoots and hits the Templar closest to where she landed. Evie's head cocks like she can hear the dart whistle through the air, and she moves on without even looking back at the one he hit, her eyes locked on the Templars between her and Jacob, the ones between her and the Templar that has tried to hurt her brother. Henry can't follow her down as fluidly. He hates to take his eyes off the twins for even a moment, but he has to find a safe spot to land. His knees ache from the impact, but he shakes it off. His palm touches the handle of his kukri, hesitates, and tightens to draw it, if he has to, for them. He doesn't. The Templar with the knife on Jacob whirls on Evie's approach. Jacob is out of reach of the knife the moment he can get free, but Evie... Evie puts her hidden blade into one man's throat to toss him out of the way using the weight of his own dying body. She's moving faster, springing across the ground, until she comes into crashing contact with the Templar. Her blade hasn't been readied again, wrong position, wrong angle, and to Evie, it must feel like it would take a second longer than she has to change that. So Evie does not use her blade, and Evie does not reach for one of her throwing knives. Evie pins the Templar to the same wall Jacob was against moments ago, tips her head with a snarl, and tears into his throat with her teeth. Henry's legs stop obeying him to freeze and shake under the effort to keep him standing. "Evie!" Jacob yells, not sounding afraid in the slightest, but alarmed. It's the same tone of voice he has when Evie's still bleeding after a scuffle. The Templar doesn't make a sound. His mouth flaps open and closed as his eyes glaze over in shock. Evie opens a gash wide enough that a hand couldn't cover it, teeth buried deep. She lunges in again before any of them have been able to process it, except for Jacob, who is moving to Evie's side and still doesn't make it before half of her face is coated in the burbling spurts of blood from the Templar's neck. She releases him and reels back a few steps. Henry sees her spit. He isn't sure how much of it is blood and how much of it is flesh, and he isn't about to look to find out. The Templar just falls when she lets go. His heart might still be beating, but every survival instinct broke under the sudden violence. Henry's heart is hammering in his chest. His mouth has gone as dry as bone. A single thought cracks across the stunned silence of his mind. Steric had gotten off easy. It's so quiet suddenly. Only a minute ago, the courtyard was erupting with a fight, but now Henry is standing right next to the remaining Templars, and none of them are even moving, let alone turning on him to continue the fight. They're frozen stiff and staring. It's quiet enough for a death rattle. It's quiet enough for Henry to count each and every breath that Evie pants out, as her shoulders heave with the heavy rise and fall of her chest. She turns on Jacob as he approaches, and Henry half expects her to lunge at him, too. She looks the part, gore drenched down her chin and across her clothes. Beneath the blood, Evie's fury melts when she looks at her brother. Her posture loosens, and she looks him up and down. Jacob puts a hand on her cheek and doesn't seem to notice that he's getting his gloves stained. "I had that handled," he says. Evie huffs and rolls her eyes. Blood rolls from her chin down her throat in rivulets, looking like veins painted on the outside of her skin. "Go handle the rest of them, then," she says. Her voice is as playful as it ever is when teasing her brother. Henry feels nauseous. The Fry twins turn on them all, and their eyes are made of gold. For a moment, Standing among their prey, Henry sees what they all see. Evie blood-drenched and teeth ever so slightly bared for more, and Jacob's grin that grows by the second until it is wild beyond containment. The stuff of nightmares, if Templars dare to dream. They dare to flee, at least. They scramble like rats. Even the one high with poison can sense the danger of the twins and stumbles away as best they can. That leaves only Henry. He tries to swallow. The twins don't give chase. In fact, Jacob chuckles, and Evie adds to it a second later, her laughter low, and coming as easily from blood-stained lips as it ever does. Henry feels another flutter in his chest. The nausea hasn't gone away either. "You all right, Greeny?" Jacob finally says. Evie blinks, and she looks again, and it's like she suddenly recognizes that he's there now. She stiffens. Her smile disappears. She lifts a hand to her mouth, and the blood comes off onto her glove in a thick, sticky layer, leaving most of the mess behind on her face. "Are you?" Henry manages to say, because he doesn't have an answer to Jacob's question. Evie's eyes are locked on his face, and though the gold has faded, he knows she won't miss a single detail of his reaction. Jacob shrugs. "I'm not stabbed." "You don't have a handkerchief on you? Or a rag? Towel?" He inclines his head towards Evie and stage whispers, "You're a sight." "Thank you, Jacob. I had no idea," Evie says. She tries to rub the blood off on the back of her other hand. It isn't much help. "I might." Henry searches himself. Somewhere between an assassin's tools and some medical supplies he's learned to keep on hand when working with the twins, he finds a cloth. Not a large one, but... Henry makes himself step towards them, one foot after the other, until it gets a little easier, until he's standing in front of Evie. The scent of iron is so thick that the back of Henry's throat tastes like metal. Jacob looks out to make sure no one is coming, either returning fools of Templars or police investigating the din. The blood on Evie's face is still soaking wet. Henry places the tips of his fingers very lightly on her jaw to keep her still, but even that little touch gets his hands dirty. He swallows again, and he lets his hand slide in to fully cup her jaw. He can feel the warm blood coat his skin as easily as it did Evie's. Henry lifts the cloth up shakily and starts to wipe the blood from her. Evie makes it easy, turning her head for him to get every drop of it from her face. He glides the cloth down the side of her nose, above her upper lip, and along her throat. "Of course she wouldn't squirm around when you're cleaning her," Jacob says. He keeps glancing at Henry from the corner of his eye, watching him as closely as Evie is. If this is a test, Henry might be passing it. "He's not scrubbing as roughly as you do." Evie's teeth are stained crimson, Henry realizes. Even the inside of her lip. She couldn't have done that without swallowing some of the gore. He tries not to examine the flip in his stomach, no matter how many times it happens while he does this. He can't get rid of all of the evidence. Blood dries in patches across her face. Her clothes are, if not ruined, going to need to be washed for ages. Henry's never going to get the image of Evie sinking her teeth into a man's throat out of his head. It's burned in there. She would do it again. He knows that. She might have done it before. She would do it again if Jacob was in trouble. If I was in trouble? Henry thinks, and he's not sure if he wants to know the answer to that. When she's at least halfway presentable again in the dark, they leave. Jacob leads the way. Henry steals one look back at the bodies they've left in their wake, and then he reaches for Evie's hand. He'd forgotten it was bloody too, until he's squeezing tight and refuses to let go. Wait here, Jacob says at the mouth of the alley that leads to the open street. He puts a hand back, and Henry bumps into it. I'll commandeer us a carriage before Evie inspires her own ghost stories. He steps out onto the street. There's not many people out there to see him, but the way he walks morphs into a casual swagger, a wolf hiding barely beneath the wool of a sheep. Henry waits until they're alone before he takes both of Evie's hands in his, with the weight of a decision made. Evie frowns. The dried blood curves around her jaw like torn rose petals. Evie puts a pair of their tangled hands on his chest and pushes. Step by step, her mouth nearly meeting his halfway as Henry lets her. When his back hits the wall of the alley, he gasps, and he can't hide the shaky breath he takes in that causes Evie to draw back. Are you scared of me, Henry? She whispers. Her face is close enough to his that he can feel the words across his lips. Scared like when he watched their enemies drop like flies as she and Jacob took a city that had been called unsalvageable. Scared like when she moves too fast, too quiet, when she does the impossible and doesn't seem to notice. Scared like the moment he realized what the glint in her eyes has always meant, that she is something like the ones who created the pieces of Eden, that she is more than human. He's not her brother. There's nothing golden in him to give him Jacob's lacking fear when faced with what she's capable of. With awe and horror is the only way he knows how to love this part of her, but he loves it all the same. Yes. He can't lie to her. Evie's eyes downcast. Henry takes her face in his hands and kisses her. Everything tastes like blood. He does it again. Nothing changes but Evie. She wraps her hands around his waist as she kisses him back, pulling their bodies flush together. Henry is sick, dizzy, terrified, excited. The stench of blood overpowers everything, and Evie tips her forehead against his when they break the kiss to share each other's breaths. He nearly takes another, but the telltale clop of hooves draws their attention before Jacob even calls. Lovebirds, our getaway ride. And then, a moment later. Hurry, I might not have asked to borrow these horses. Evie chuckles soft and warm against Henry's cheek. She tangles their hands together again before she goes to join her brother. Henry will follow wherever she leads.